I always feel the pressure to find the perfect gift for my relatives. In this case, whether you're sending an unforgettable gift or treating yourself to everyday perfection, Omaha Steaks delivers the world's best steak experience. For me, I'm not just into steaks. I like all types of meat. That's why I'll usually get the Winter's Bestseller Pack. It comes with juicy fillets, chicken breast, pork chops, and even burgers. Omaha Steaks offers unrivaled quality and variety, and every bite is backed by their 100% guarantee. A family-owned company with over 100 years of experience in the meat industry. Save big on unforgettable gifts with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide and earn an extra 20% off select favorites during their cyber sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code YUM at checkout. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code YUM at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. Go to omahasteaks.com to get 50% off site-wide plus an extra 20% off select favorites and more limited-time deals during their cyber sale. And use promo code YUM at checkout for an extra $35 off. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details. A big thanks to our advertiser, Omaha Steaks.
Hello, everybody. My name is Ray. Welcome to the Evangelical Dark Web. Today, we're going to be discussing Ligon Duncan's recent interview on the Room for Nuance podcast. He went back for more. I wrote an article on the first interview initially. I apparently missed the boat on doing a video on that because I had already done a recent live stream at the time on Ligon Duncan. So to do another video on him that close, I don't know, it seems a little out of order, but today we're going to be discussing Ligon Duncan's follow-up interview on the Room for Nuance podcast. More on who that is in a second, but Ligon Duncan in this interview defends his decision to endorse and write the foreword for Eric Mason's book, Woke Church. This book, Woke Church, was one of the most prominent books, you know, pushed on the church specifically during the height of wokeness. Now, wokeness isn't necessarily going away, as Ligon Duncan will show, as the Room for Nuance guy will show. Wokeness is not gone. It's just being more institutionalized. And who's more institutionalized than Ligon Duncan, who's the head honcho over at Reformed Theological Seminary? So we're going to be discussing this interview, but first, I want to let you know, Evangelical Dark Web is a Christian news gathering and commentary ministry. You can support this work over at evangelicaldarkweb.org/join. This is our Patreon-like system. However, the least you can do is like this video, subscribe to the channel or podcast if you are new, and check out that free Evangelical Dark Web newsletter. You get daily news in your inbox each and every day of the latest in Christian news and commentary. So with that said, let's move swiftly on to our interview here with Ligon Duncan and the Room for Nuance podcast. So let's discuss who this guy is. I have a little bit of a conspiracy theory that this guy is an industry plant. He's kind of like a Big Eva plant, because if you look at his social media, and I believe the people involved in this are like the American Gospel TV are basically propping this guy up. But as far as under 2,000 subs on YouTube, and I'm not trying to knock him for that, but like no presence on the Twitter sphere, no real presence on the Facebook, and the Instagram is also lacking as well. Yet nonetheless, he can land some pretty high profile interviews. It's pretty suspicious. I mean, a lot of people in pop culture call industry plants, like the lady that was interviewing Drake from bed or whatever. So a lot of stuff like that, kind of, I get those vibes from this person right here. Just my opinion. That's not why I don't really like this guy. It's because he's a liberal is why I don't really like him. So with that disclaimer on who the Room for Nuance podcast is, here is his questioning of Ligon Duncan regarding Woke Church.
Say, I'm going to be interviewing Ligon Duncan round two tomorrow. What should I ask about? We get a number of different things, but pretty consistently, people want to know about your last message at T4G and how that was received. And, you know, now that you're so far removed from that. And then your endorsement of Woke Church by Eric Mason. I mean, that one is brought up a lot.
Yeah.
So you take those in whichever order you please.
I have not had many comments made to me about my last message at T4G. At T4G, the comments that I hear about are the message about Elijah, the message on Numbers.
I can listen to that sermon right now. It's so good.
At the very first T4G, when I spoke about preaching the gospel from the Old Testament, those are the three messages over the however many years that we did T4G from 2006 to 2022 that I hear most about. From the last T4G, I've had more people comment on my prayers because Mark asked me to go up and do some examples of praying scripture. And so I tried to do that two or three times during T4G as a way of encouraging pastors. And I've heard more people comment about the prayers, frankly, than my last message. That was a very poignant, wonderful T4G. I loved that T4G. And I remember more about what Sinclair Ferguson said, interviewing Sinclair and Alex, what Mark said, walking off the stage the last time, and then Matt Merker walking off the stage, and then there's nobody up front. And I just thought that is, Mark and I were talking about this after, it's just so appropriate that there's none of us on the platform. There's only God. There's only the gospel. There's only Christ. That was just so appropriate that no human beings were up there. It was just left to the Lord. That was a beautiful way to end T4G. So I don't know. Maybe you've heard something about the last sermon that
I
you
have nothing
want
to add,
mention.
No.
With regard to woke church.
So disclaimer, I don't know anything about what he's talking about. Apparently that's a critique or a praise that he's had that his fans want a little bit more of, I guess. Now we're going to get into the woke church stuff right here and just pay attention now.
Church. Let me say, if people wonder why I wrote the foreword to Woke Church, this will not take you 5 minutes to do. Read Neil Shenvey's short review of Woke Church.
Okay.
It will take you less than 5 minutes. Go to Neil Shenvey's site.
He is no fan of wokeness.
He is no fan of wokeness.
Yes.
Read his review of Woke Church. You will know why I wrote the foreword to Woke Church when you read Neil Shenvey's foreword or review. Now, let me.
All right, so pause right there because Neil Shenvey is not a good guy. He is one of the baddies. He is a snake. He's not honest in his criticisms of wokeness because Neil Shenvey goes to a woke church. If you go to a woke church, why should I believe you and your criticisms of wokeness are valid? How can they be valid? It would be like a morbidly obese person giving you dieting advice. That is really stupid to listen to that person. So with that said, Neil Shenvey, what is his history on this issue? He is given inadequate critiques. And in my upcoming book, Winning Not Winsome, I go after Neil Shenvey for being controlled opposition. And that is what Neil Shenvey is. He gives inadequate critiques of wokeness. He does not want to destroy critical race theory. He endorsed Resolution 9 of the Southern Baptist Convention back in 2019. This basically was a critical race theory resolution embracing critical race theory. Neil Shenvey endorsed it at the time. He was woke at the time that woke church was being heavily pushed by the church. He also goes to a woke church, the Summit Church, which is J.D. Greer's church. J.D. Greer is a very woke pastor, very woke. And it was, I believe, his resolutions committee that was the one that gave us Resolution 9. So a lot of full circles here. So Neil Shenvey is propped up by Big Eva to be their voice in opposition to wokeness because he does not want to destroy wokeness. I am here to destroy wokeness. Critical race theory, I am here to destroy. Side B theology, I am here to destroy. Feminism, I'm here to destroy. I'm here to destroy wokeness. Neil Shenvey is not. And he's a hypocrite because he goes to a woke church. The fact that these people are citing, or Ligon Duncan is citing Neil Shenvey as his justification for writing the foreword to a woke book, a book that advanced critical race theory, is evidence that Neil Shenvey is basically controlled opposition and allowed basically to curtail people who are actually opposed to critical race theory, who Ligon Duncan's going to have some very strong words to say in a second. So here we go.
I always feel the pressure to find the perfect gift for my relatives. In this case, whether you're sending an unforgettable gift or treating yourself to everyday perfection, Omaha Steaks delivers the world's best steak experience. For me, I'm not just into steaks. I like all types of meat. That's why I'll usually get the Winter's Best Seller Pack. It comes with juicy fillets, chicken breasts, pork chops, and even burgers. Omaha Steaks offers unrivaled quality and variety, and every bite is backed by their 100% guarantee. A family-owned company with over 100 years of experience in the meat industry. Save big on unforgettable gifts with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide and earn an extra 20% off select favorites during their cyber sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code YUM at checkout. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code YUM at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. Go to omahasteaks.com to get 50% off site-wide plus an extra 20% off select favorites and more limited-time deals during their cyber sale. And use promo code YUM at checkout for an extra $35 off. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details. A big thanks to our advertiser, Omaha Steaks.
Let me just briefly explain, because I love it when people that I respect ask me those kinds of questions, because I believe that I owe clarity to good faith questions, even and especially from people who disagree with me. Yeah. So I want to paint the target on my back. I'm not trying to be shifty and avoid, you know, concerns. I want to answer concerns directly. So I love it when people ask me questions like that directly. Now, when neo-Confederates who are podcasting from their mother's spare bedroom want to call me woke because of that.
Shots fired.
All right. So is this a thinly veiled reference to John Harris, who, by the way, was married, and I believe it was his laundry room or whatever. And just for the record, I own my house. This is my house, not my parents' house that I'm doing this in. Just so we're clear, I am a millennial homeowner, just so we're clear.
You know, then I don't care what they say. Yeah. And frankly, they influence very, very few people. But I've had good questions about this. So let me say, here's the answer. I wanted to send a message that I thought guys in our theological neck of the woods who are inerrantist, who are unapologetically committed to Reformed theology, and who want to see the church shaped by Scripture, not by the culture, need to understand sympathetically what a lot of our brothers and sisters from Black churches and in evangelical spaces are experiencing through that cultural transition that we started going through in 2012. And Eric's book was the best one at that point to sort of, where's this coming from? What's all the upset about? Why are people reacting the way they are to whether it's Trayvon Martin or whether it's George Floyd or whatever. And I can't remember when that book came out. Did it come out in 2019 or so, somewhere in there? It's trying to explain why did things blow up like this? And the commendation is not, you know, I agree with everything that Eric says. It's go listen to somebody who in good faith but believes the gospel, believes the Bible, wants to love the church and serve the church, and doesn't want to give up on evangelicalism. Listen to him trying to explain his perspective. Now, I think
it's worth reminding the audience that Eric Mason was like promoting reparations, and he was basically trying to go prosperity gospel with wokeness, in a sense. At least for Black people, it would be prosperity gospel. You know, gold, hallelujah, silver, hallelujah, livestock. I feel you right there. Famous quote from Eric Mason, but that was like his woke prosperity gospel moment. Yeah, this Eric Mason's clear wolf in wolf's clothing. And the fact that Ligon Duncan's defending this is just, it's laughable. And the idea that people like John Harris, A.D. Robles, who have more influence than I do, have no influence, that's laughable. That's laughable. This guy, you know, Room for Nuance needs to be astroturfed to have the amount of influence that he does have. Whereas last week, I posted a Fred a thread blasting the presidential candidate in the Southern Baptist Convention that he ultimately made a pitiful response to. It was seen by tens of thousands of people that would be in the know. There's influence in that. So the idea that, you know, these discernment bloggers have zero influence is clearly false. We're driving the conversation in several directions. You know, Christian nationalism, who's driving that conversation? It's not Ligon Duncan. He's not the reason that that's a conversation. And why isn't it that they can't just be full bore woke anymore? It's because they know that's going to hurt their influence. And why is that going to hurt their influence? Because of those pesky discernment bloggers. That's why.
Since then, there have been some even more helpful things written. Shai Lin's New Reformation is maybe my favorite book on this. And Shai does a great job of explaining to you. And so what I was saying—
You don't have to agree with everything he says in that book. Yeah.
So Isaac Adams has written— there's so many other, you know, good things that have been written on this. But what I'm saying to my guys is, guys, it would be helpful if you would be a little more knowledgeable and a little more sympathetic about what some of your brothers and sisters out there are going through right now. It might keep us together, because I had already seen by 2015 bad faith actors trying to drive African Americans out of white evangelical spaces because they hated the gospel and the Bible. These bad faith actors did. And they were trying to drive. A unity, no question, had been building in the 2000s. And
no
then
question.
It got
no
shattered
question.
In the 20-teens.
Yeah.
I would say that 2009 was the year, 2008. And what really happened was the church went woke during the Obama years. We discovered the church had gone woke during the Trump years. And now, during the Biden years, we're discovering that the leadership sucks. That's what we're discovering in the Biden years. Our leadership sucks. So, wokeness took over the church during the Obama years. You see the Evangelical Covenant Church, they adopted critical race theory whole cloth in 2009. Mark Dever goes woke like in 2014, and his ministry, Nine Marks, goes woke with them. A lot of institutions went woke. Russell Moore went woke in 2009. And he would later take over the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission and drive them to furthering illegal immigration in the country. People, evangelicalism went woke, or we had to fight wokeness during the Obama years. It's a little bit of a history lesson that many people are uncomfortable with. They just think this came, you know, in 2019, 2020, when, you know, St. George Floyd was martyred on the streets of Minneapolis. No, this was a long time coming in the church. It was a very long time coming in the church. And the leadership, even the leadership that was fighting it, is inept at the time. And that's the struggle right now.
I saw that happening. I wanted to send a message. Guys, I think we need to be knowledgeable and we need to be sympathetic and we need to listen a little bit. And interestingly, that message landed more often than not. I remember being in line at a new student reception at RTS Orlando, and a young African-American guy comes through the line and he says, "Dr. Duncan, when I read your foreword to Eric Mason's Woke Church, I knew that RTS was a place where I could come and study and I would be nurtured and built up. He believes in the inerrancy of Scripture. He believes in Reformed theology. He's committed to the gospel. He wants to have a biblical church." And that was the message that he picked up. Yeah. That was what I was trying to send to one audience. Mm-hmm. And then to my guys, I wanted to say, let's just listen.
Yeah. And if we disagree.
So that is the clip of Ligon Duncan defending himself. And he ends it with an anecdote from a future woke pastor. He might be a current woke pastor, who knows, but that's basically how he defends himself. Is I'm going to attack my opponents, appeal to an authority fallacy, ad hominem fallacy, and then emotional anecdote at the end there. It not a very good biblical defense of woke church, because again, this book was not defensible. And if you want to look at a review of it, A.D. Robles at the time did a fantastic review series of the book Woke Church. He gave a very reasonable Latino perspective on that. You can check it out over on his channel. But before you do, drop a like and subscribe on your way out. Stay based. Christ is King. And we will catch you on the next one.